The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Mick Norton, John Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. We have two jumpers on Sunday, Newton Abbott and Stratford, and there's also a good card on the flat at Redcar as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark, and I could do as always with a winning nap, but otherwise happy.
Good. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing. John's picked out three races for us. One of them is at Newton Abbott and the other two are at Redcar. We'll get his thoughts on those pretty shortly. But before we get there, John, let's just have a quick look ahead to next weekend. The King George the VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes is the big race of the weekend. And since Tegruder has been added to the lineup by Sheikh Hamdan Al Maktoum, the money's been pretty much one way for her. She's as short as 9-4 second favourite now.
It's quite remarkable, isn't it, Mark? It was a bold decision anyhow by Hamdan and his associates, although one gets the impression that Hamdan himself had been very keen that she should run. You know, I put it down to the earlier that Macadam would undoubtedly run for the owner, but not to be.
Macadam's in the lineup as well.
Yes. Do you think Macadam will run?
I don't know, maybe so, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. I have a suspicion that Mukadram will not run. But there we are. Hamdan's in tremendous form, and he might decide to be double-handed. If Mukadram runs, I shall like him, because I think he regards Ascot very much as his home territory, and I thought he was very impressive in the Coral Eclipse. So it's a marvellous race, but the money is interesting, isn't it? I think I'm right in saying three-year-old fillies have not won the King George for a long while. And so stats not altogether in favour, despite the wait for age. And we have to wait and see. I don't think either of them will win,
okay,
Mark, because I'm convinced Telescope will win the King George.
Right.
I thought Telescope was so impressive at Ascot. He's a horse that I've been waiting to come back to himself for the last sort of, 15 months or so. I thought he had a great chance in the Derby in 2013, and then he got cast in his box. He's taken an awful long time to come right, but I fancied he would definitely win at Royal Ascot, and the style in which he disposed of his rivals makes me think he'll be very, very hard to beat, always assuming there's not a torrential thunderstorm. Now, that could really put the cat among the pigeons altogether, but if the ground was good to firm at Ascot for next Saturday, Telescope would be my choice, definitely.
Okay. I'm just looking through the list of previous winners of the King George, trying to find a three-year-old filly that's won the race. I'm struggling, to be fair, John. I can't find one at the moment.
Well,
Saint-Jovite, maybe, back in the 19... Let's have a look. Saint-Jovite, 1992, maybe that was the last one?
It could well be. I think that there was a Hamdan filly who also ran at the beginning with H. Was it Hezire or something of that nature, but didn't win.
Hmm.
So 9-4, I think, is very short for Tegruder. But obviously, there are a lot of people who think the Oaks winner is going to double up here. And it is a very bold and interesting decision by Connections.
Yes, it makes the race a little bit more exciting. Telescope 7-4, Tegruder 9-4, 4-1 for Magician, 8-1 for Macadram, 10-1 Eagle Top, the stablemate of Tegruder from the John Gosden Yard, needs to be supplemented. Out to 10s on the drift, that one. Flintshire also 10s with Trading Leather, and Leading Light is 12s in Noble Mission, and 14s or bigger price as the rest. So.
I think Trading Leather is quite a decent price. I thought Trading Leather really came back to form in the Coral Eclipse, and if Trading Leather was to improve a bit on that and go from the front, he could make them all go. And I've just had one anti-post bet of the year. Do you know what that is, Mark?
No.
That's in the St. Ledger.
Ah, right.
I backed Hartnell.
Hartnell, eh?
I really do think Hartnell's got a grand chance giving Mark Johnston a winner in the St. Ledger.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. That's all to look forward to next weekend, the King George taking place at Ascot next Saturday. But we're going to focus on matters a little closer to hand now, and we'll get John's thoughts on Sunday's racing.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, then on to Sunday's racing. John's picked out three races for us, and we'll start at Newton Abbot in their 3:20. And this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. And quite an interesting race, this, John, because Street Entertainer comes into this in winning form. Got the better of Itirad last time we saw those two. Last time we saw Street Entertainer. Itirad subsequently has won in a slightly lower grade and has a penalty to defy. So do you see it between those two here, John?
I think probably they're the principals, Mark, definitely. But there are one or two others in the race. That's why I sort of picked it out. We might mention the one or two others first. I always have an inkling for Detroit Red when it runs at Newton Abbott. I ran at Worcester last time out. I know David Massey often thinks that Detroit Red's going to win when returning to the Devonshire course. It wasn't going too badly at Worcester. Went unseated, but I think was beaten at the time. It could be an outsider. And Paul Nichols runs Maxi Chop in the race. And that is definitely a player. Maxi Chop just went down to Bohemian Rhapsody at Newton Abbott last time out. I was pleased with that because I went with Bohemian Rhapsody, but all the money was for Maxi Chop. And I thought he was given a really good ride by Sam Tristan Davis, who was determined and keen to win the race and very, very nearly did. They came to the last flight absolutely locked together. But Bohemian Rhapsody has got just that little bit superior pace on the flat, and that told, but it was a very good ride by Sam Tristan Davis and a good run by Maxi Chop. So, you know, he's got a chance.
Yeah, they're just tinkering with their headgear a bit with him as well. Tongue tie on his penultimate start, cheek pieces for the first time last time, and tomorrow, or on Sunday rather, they put both of them on, pieces and tongue tie. So maybe that will help.
Well, it might help. There's obviously all kinds of devices being tried, Mark. You're absolutely right there. So he ran pretty well. Now, I'm going to go with Street Entertainer in this race because I think David Pipe and Tom Scudamore have been having, what I say, a field day every time they have run horses at Newton Abbott this summer. But they've got a pretty good record there during the current campaign. I do think Tom Scudamore's riding particularly well at the moment. A really confident and positive jockey. He seems to have come of age. That's a silly thing to say because he's been a good jockey for a long time. But I just get the impression that, you know, the confidence has really risen. And as a result, Tom Scudamore is proving a very, very difficult rider to beat, particularly from the front. Street Entertainer likes to go off well. He's been entered in a number of races over the past fortnight and has not taken part. But I think the ground will suit here at Newton Abbott. I think the course will suit. I would expect Scudamore to be very positive on Street Entertainer, and I think he can win. He beat Itirad 2¾ lengths at Fontwell, and I don't really see why Itirad should reverse the placings. OK did win last time out. Lesser race, in my view, has a penalty, and I think Street Entertainer can confirm the form. To me, it's going to be between Street Entertainer and Maxi Chop. And I just think that Street Entertainer has that touch of class in this contest, which will see him through.
OK. Street Entertainer then in the 3:20 at Newton Abbott. The 4:10 at Redcar is next. And this is, the Class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. 18 of them in the lineup here, John, including last year's winner Headspace coming back to defend his crown. Do you like his chances?
Yes, I do. I think Ruth Carr's got a very good chance of winning this race, hopefully with Head Space, but she's also got Head Arch in the contest, who cannot be dismissed. It's a fascinating race. Why on earth I should go for it, I don't know, when 17 runners in a really ultra-competitive red car sprint. There's even things like the draw, which confuses the issue a little bit. I tend to think that in fiercely run 6 furlong handicaps, that a small number is a little bit preferable. The results rather indicate that when the grounds sound at Redcar, that low numbers do have quite a fair strike rate. But just looking at this race, it's got some real star names. Will be a bit of an exaggeration, Mark, but really familiar names. I mean, you've got two tax frees in the contest as well. There's Jack Louis, who's been knocking at the door in similar company for a while. There's a horse who runs well at Redcar called Mercer's Row. From the Karen Tutty yard. Gemma Tutty has ridden this horse really well on two occasions, pinched the race, in my view, at Carlisle, and was only just beaten at the same venue next time out. Comes back to 6 furlongs here today, is in very good form.
Joe Fanning as well, haven't they?
Yes.
Which he's in banging form, isn't he, at the moment? So.
He is banging form. And do you know who's booking his rides now?
Niall Hannity,
yes,
isn't
it? Yes, Mr. Versatility, yeah. Another string to his bow. And he's had 20 winners, Joe has, in this month. He really is in top form. So, Mercer's Row and Joe Fanning could be a possibility. Gran Canaria Queen is another possibility in this contest. Drawn 10, so could go either way. She's been in very good form. I noted her when running at Musselburgh a couple of outings ago. Was very, very heavily backed on that occasion and was only just beaten by Alan Berry's Infol Perfect Blossom, who's run quite decently in a couple of races since then. But there were good handicappers behind Gran Canaria Queen at the East Lothian venue on that occasion. So when she reappeared in an apprentice race at Carlisle next time out, I was convinced that she was something of a good thing. Rachel Richardson rode her, and she absolutely cantered in. And she's obviously in very good form, Gran Canaria Queen, and looks a big danger. But I'm going to go for Ruth Carr's two. I thought Hadadj has been a horse that has been about to win for the last couple of occasions. Ran very well at Beverley, was just beaten in a really nail-biting finish. Thatcherite came from a long way off the pace to win, just as Hadadj looked like scoring. Little bit disappointing last time out at Ponte, only eighth, but that was the day, Mark, that there'd been tremendous rain, and yeah, the ground turned very soft indeed, and I don't think conditions underfoot suited. Hadadj has got Graham Lee in the saddle tomorrow, could go well for Ruth Carr. But Head Space I napped last time out at Doncaster. Typically, of course, when I have a winning nap, it's always backed. They backed it right off the down to 3-1 fav in a similar race to this Redcar one. And Headspace, wearing a visor for the first time, got to the front, looked as though he had win really easily, but then in typical fashion put his nose in the air and had to be driven out to win, but did win. And remains, in my view, on a very good mark. Won this race last year, has got the visor still on. On James Sullivan in the saddle, and I'm going to give Headspace another chance to take this.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, he won this race last year off a pound higher mark, so does look on a good mark, doesn't he?
He's very well handicapped, Headspace, but Headspace is perhaps an appropriate name because there's not much space in the head.
Okay. Good stuff, John. Let's move on to the final race we're going to look at, and that's the 5:40 at Redcar. And we finish here with an apprentice handicap over a mile and three quarters. John, what are your thoughts in this one?
Yeah, well, I thought there were three horses in this race who run pretty well at Redcar and have got decent apprentices in the saddle. Two of them, anyhow, run well at Redcar. The first one is Madrasa, trained by Keith Reevely, who, of course, trains not far from Redcar at Saltburn. And this this horse tends to run well at the local track. I thought Madrasa would win last time out and was going well throughout the contest until just not quite picking up inside the final three furlongs, and eventually finished, to me, a rather disappointing fourth behind Hot Spice. Joe Doyle, though, rides this horse tomorrow, and instead of Jacob Butterfield. Nothing wrong with Jacob Butterfield, but Joe Doyle, I think, is a very promising young rider, and he'll certainly, I think, get on well with Madrasa. So definitely a player. The one which hasn't won, basically, at Redcar is Blue Top. But I've put this in the trio, Mark, because Mark Walford trains. And Mark Walford has had a very good run at Redcar. His father, Tim, often put in staying handicappers to go well at the Cleveland track. And I thought Blue Top, who's run pretty decently over hurdles, I think, at Uttoxeter most recently, but had not been disgraced on the flat before that at Thirsk, has got a chance. So that's number two in the race. And then finally, my selection. I think Peter Niven's horses are going very well at the moment. And I thought Clever Cookie, for example, ran extremely well in the John Smith's Cup. Didn't win, but was staying on very strongly. And if you put into the Ebor, for example, I would have thought Clever Cookie got a fair chance. And other horses of his have also run quite well. Old favourite runs in this race called Beat the Shower. Hasn't won for a long time, but has not run badly. A consistent fourth placer Beat the Shower, and she was fourth last time out. But this is a weaker contest. He's dropped down the weights a bit, and he's got Ali Rawlinson, Alistair Rawlinson, because many people thought that he was a girl.
Yeah.
So he changed his Christian name to Alistair. But he's a very, very decent apprentice, Alistair Rawlinson, and I think he'll go well on Beat the Shower. I think it's between Madrasa and Beat the Shower. I'm going to go with Beat the Shower.
Okay, Beat the Shower to get the better of last year's winner Madrasa then in the 5:40 at Redcar. Let's just have a little bit of summary, John, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, we go jumping for the first one in the 3:20 Newton Abbott time game with Tom Scudamore and Street Entertainer. Then in a fascinating 6 furlong handicap at 4:10, I thought Ruth Carr could dominate this, and I'm going to go with Headspace to score again. Won the race last year in the 5:40, the final race of Redcar, an apprentice handicap. Beat the Shower is the choice.
Okay, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Absolutely right.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Mick Norton, Lord Budden and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Newton Abbott, Redcar and Stratford to look forward to on Sunday. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.